We continue our studies in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2. For those of you who are just tuning in for the first time, may I say that we are following through a series of studies. We started with the book of Romans, dealing with Christ's ministry at the cross for us, where we have the revelation of the righteousness of God and the sinfulness of men, and of how God has made the provision whereby sinful man can come acceptably in the presence of God, covered with the righteousness and merit of Christ. Then we took up the book of Hebrews, which deals with Christ's present ministry for his people. At the cross, he not only did a work to redeem us, but knowing that we are still in our frailty and weakness here on earth, we have a high priest on the right hand of the throne of God in the heavens. He's representing us, he's praying for us, cares for us, he knows our needs, and is able to succor those that are tested. Now we come now to Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, where there is given to us his future work. He's going to come, for example, to gather the people of God unto himself, the church of Christ. And then in 2 Thessalonians, he's going to come with his saints to judge the nations of the earth. And we are now in the second chapter of 1 Thessalonians, and he's dealing here with the ministry of the early church in chapter 2. For example, in chapter 2, 1 to 13, we have, this is what we're dealing with, the character of that ministry. And the first thing we found out was the work of an evangelist in chapter 2, 1 to 6. As an evangelist, he had led them to Christ. And in verses 1 to 2, you have the power of an evangelist and the practice of an evangelist. It's an amazing thing when you read this, how one yearns for some real New Testament evangelists. His power was in God. He didn't come with empty words. He was bold to speak the precious word of God. And he gave the whole truth, with no deception, with no tricks or stories or schemes. He sought to please God. He was humble in his life, real in his testimony, and he didn't have any covetousness. He didn't do it for money's sake. Nor did he come with any flattery. He was very sincere in what he did and what he said. This is what you have in the first six verses of the second chapter. The New Testament evangelist. Now in verses 7 to 9, we come to the second thing of the ministry as a pastor. Now, if an evangelist brings the good news of the gospel to those who are out of Christ, the pastor is the one who nourishes the spiritual life of those who have accepted the Savior, and like a mother nursing her child. Let me read those verses 7 to 9, where Paul said, "We were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God." Let me just stop here. Here you have the pastor is like a mother nourishing the lives, the spiritual lives of those who are under his ministry. And you'll notice in verse 7, he says, "We were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." And I think you must confess with me that one of the tenderest things in life is a mother who is taking care of her child, nursing her child, the one that's on her heart, the one that's on her breast, the one whom she nourisheth. She just pours her life into the baby, into the child. In fact, the child becomes the very center, you remember, of mother's love. And there's nothing so sweet as a mother's love, taking care, especially of her newborn child. I wish we could take that and bring it into our own assemblies, into our churches, where pastors are to be just like a mother nourishing her children. It's so easy for a pastor, and I say this very frankly, it is so easy for us to be occupied with the old bellwether sheep, those who have been saved for a number of years, those who have been leaders in the church, and so on and so forth. But these newborn babes in Christ, how they need to be cherished, and how they need to be succored and cared for. And Paul says, I was just like a mother, gentle with you, as a mother nursing her child. And then you'll notice in verse 8, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. You remember, brethren, our labor and travail, laboring night and day, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Willing to impart his own life. And by the way, that's what a mother does. She imparts her own life to a child. And a pastor is one whose life is poured out for God's people. No self-seeking, no self-pity, but imparting the gospel of the grace of God and imparting his own life. You know, one of the greatest needs today, I believe, in America are some real, real pastors who will be burdened for God's people, willing to impart their own lives that the people of God might be edified and built up and that their spiritual lives might be nourished. And it's a day and night job, as Paul here says, laboring night and day. And he refused to be a burden to them, just like a mother. His great passion was the gospel of God. Did you notice this in verse 2? We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God. In verse 4, God has put us in trust with the gospel. In verse 8, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but our own souls. In verse 9, we preached unto you the gospel of God. This man was sold out to the good news from God to men. Not only to bring people to the Savior, but to give them the whole revealed truth so that they might be nourished and become real, real messengers, witnesses for God, not only in testimony, but also in their lives. I'm reminded, by the way, of dear Moses in the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 18, where we read that Moses nursed them 40 years in the wilderness. My, what a job he had. And Moses acted like a pastor. He nursed, cherished, taught, instructed, guided a whole nation of slaves for 40 years. What a tremendous job he had. No wonder when we read the book of Numbers as well as the book of Exodus concerning the history of Israel coming out of the wilderness and of how God at times, as he said one time, 10 times they've murmured against me. And at least 3 times he was ready to even blot the whole nation out under judgment, under righteous judgment. And then you remember how Moses stepped into the gap and how Moses pleaded with God. And God repented the evil he was going to do to his people. And so you have here with Paul. He said, you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, laboring night and day, so that we would not be chargeable unto any of you. You remember in Acts chapter 20, verses 18 to 20, and also verse 31, where in Paul going back, you remember, and speaking to the Ephesian elders, speaks of his ministry there as a pastor among them for 3 years with the Ephesian church. And we read there, night and day, he went from house to house, ministering the word of God night and day with tears. See, this is a mother's heart, a real burden for God's people. I say again, may the Lord raise up in these last days some real pastors. Thank God for those who are real pastors, whose primary object is not their own life or their own wants, with no self-sympathy, but rather a life poured out for the people of God. Sometimes it's a night and day job. 7 days a week, no days off. You're just pouring out your life for God's people. This is the work of a pastor. Now, starting at verses 10 to 12, Paul was not only an evangelist and a pastor, but he also was a teacher and a minister in verses 10 to 12. And if, as a pastor, he acted like a mother, as a teacher and minister, he acted like a father, strengthening, encouraging, advising his people. So I read, "You are witnesses in God also how holily and righteously and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory." You have, as a teacher and a minister, we know we need evangelists, we need pastors, we need teachers and ministers. Now, I'd like to repeat this. As a pastor, in verses 7 to 9, like a mother nursing her sucking child, taking care of her child. Now, as a teacher and minister, he is a father. If I may make a little contrast here, tender as a mother giving her life, strong as a father encouraging, advising his people. The impartation of life as a mother, the strengthening of that life as a father. You see the tremendous need we have today. You know, the trouble is this, and I'll be blunt enough to say it. When you call a pastor to your church, you want him to do the work of an evangelist. You want him to be a pastor. You want him to be a teacher. You want him to be a minister. You want him to be a witness, an administrator. You want everything in one man. And let me say very frankly, you don't have all the gifts in one man. Thank the Lord for some men who have a different kind of gifts. I have a friend, he's now with the Lord, who had tremendous gifts as a teacher, as an evangelist. He's a well-known man in this country. But as a pastor, he doesn't have the gift of a pastor. But he was a wonderful teacher, a good evangelist, and a good writer. But he had to give the other work over, the pastor's work, to other men to do the job. I have another man from Great Britain. He said, "I'll preach Sunday morning, I'll preach Sunday night, I'll minister the word, but all the rest you can get somebody else to do it." He recognized he did not have the pastoral gift. So please don't expect your pastor to have all the gifts as an evangelist, as a pastor, as a teacher, as a minister. Thank God if you have a pastor who is really a pastor, with a mother taking care of her children, succoring those who need it, nourishing their spiritual life. And for those who are teachers, that they may strengthen, edify, build up the people of God. Now, it's true, a pastor may also have the gift of teaching. This may be true. Some pastors have the gift of an evangelist. That is, they can do the work of an evangelist. But to have all three things, four things into their life, into one life, I question it very much. A rare thing. But this man, as a teacher and a minister, acts like a father, strengthening, encouraging his people. And then he also must be an example. You have it here. "You are witnesses in God also, how holily, righteously, unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe." You see, this is true of, this should be true of an evangelist. This should be true of a pastor as well as a teacher. We had to be an example of a life that is holy, that is righteous, that is unblameable. And Paul could say very, very frankly to these Thessalonians, You are witnesses, and God also. Believe me, when a man calls God to be his witness, he better be sure of his ground. That we were living a life holy, righteous, unblameable. And we did it right among you folk, and you're witnesses of our lives that we lived a blameless life before God. You know, there are some things I'd like to say about this. But you pray for your pastors and your teachers and your ministers and your evangelists. I question if people realize the strain, the opposition, the subtleties of Satan in the flesh, the things that would come in to try and break down the testimony of the gospel of God. And men at the best are frail. And how we need the prayers of God's people that we might live holy lives, righteous lives, unblameable lives in the midst of God's people. So that the world has nothing to say about it. The world has no ground to accuse. It's a sad thing when pastors have to leave a church because their lives are not holy, are not righteous. And you pray for your pastor, you pray for your leaders. And I just plead with you Christians to do this. I question whether you even begin to realize the opposition, especially against men who give out the word of God. And we need your prayers. We need you to be workers together with us so that nothing will interfere with the giving out of the word of God in the power and blessing of the Holy Spirit of God. And then in verse 11, not only are we to be examples of life, and you know, can I use a little crude illustration here before I leave that 10th verse? It just comes to me where a boy will say, if my dad can do it, I can do it. If God can do it, so can I. And if we who are pastors and teachers and leaders live before God a life that is holy and righteous and unblameable, then the people of the congregation can say, well, the same God, the same Spirit of God who works in them can work in me. So you have this question as a father, as an example to God's people. And then the third thing you have here, in verse 11, and you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. He teaches us how to live a life that is well pleasing to God, taught by word and by example. And as one reads, for example, the book of Acts chapter 24, and giving Paul's testimony in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and you take chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians and you follow through the testimony of Paul here and there through the book of Romans, you have the same thing, where God is his witness as to how he walked well-pleasing to God. The passion of his life was Christ. And so as we teach the word of God and as we live before God, we want to be examples and to teach people how to walk, to live a life and to walk pleasing to God. In fact, when you come to your next chapters, 3 and 4, he exhorts us how to walk before God, how to walk before others, and how to walk before the world, so that we might be lives that shall bring praise and honor and glory to our Savior. So we have in these verses, in the verses 1 to 6, you have the question of an evangelist, and then you have in verses 7 to 9, how you're to live as a pastor, how he ministers, and then in verses 10 to 12, as a teacher and minister, as a father, strengthening and encouraging the people of God by example as well as by teaching. So you find in these verses, you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, just like a father taking his son into his den or into the bedroom or his study and says, now listen, son, you're going out into the world. And the world has no place for the Savior. And I'd like to give you a little exhortation to strengthen you and to warn you what you expect in the world, so that you'll be ready. When the opposition of hell and of men come, you'll know how you'll be able to stand for God, with God, and to the encouragement of his people. Now, following along, we have in verses 13 to 14, as a witness of their life in Christ. So may the Lord bless you today and make the truth to abound in your heart as you seek to walk before God.